Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, December 9th. From Capitol coverage, Colorado residents trying to bring wolves back to the state say they have reached an important milestone. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
A conservation group says it has gathered enough signatures to get the issue on the ballot next year. Rick Ritter, a spokesman for the Rocky Mountain Wolf Action Fund, says his group will turn in more than 195,000 signatures to the Secretary of State this week. And if voters say yes next year, gray wolves could eventually return to the state for the first time since the 1940s. The reintroduction effort has sparked a debate between ranchers who fear for their livestock and residents who think wolves would benefit the environment by controlling the deer population. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Western Slope farmers and ranchers have lots of questions and concerns about a proposed plan to pay them to use less water in the midst of a crisis. Luke Runyon has more on a new study.
Colorado State University researcher Kelsey McElroy went to farming communities in western Colorado to hear what water users thought of demand management. It's a proposal the state is studying that would ask farmers to irrigate less and be paid to do it. McElroy's new report shows the idea faces plenty of hurdles.
This is rocket science. You know, this is not easy. The state not only has a huge challenge ahead of them, but working out anything that gets put down in writing is going to be contested.
Some of the biggest concerns were about a practice known as buy and dry, where a farmer's water rights are permanently bought up by the highest bidder, usually cities and developers. McElroy's study was commissioned by the Nature Conservancy. Earlier this year, the state convened 9 work groups to hammer out some of the program's thorniest issues. I'm Luke Runyon.
From the Colorado News Connection, a Douglas County high school is using a refrigerated freight container converted into a hydroponic farm as an extension of the classroom. Eric Galatis has the story.
At Mountain Vista High School, students learn how to grow leafy greens and other vegetables, but David Larson, who teaches business agriculture at the school, says other learning opportunities branch out from there.
But then you take all the different aspects of it, like the business side, marketing, branding, you know, all those things that we want kids to have practical experience on. If you have kids that are interested in engineering, technology side of it, there's a control systems and automation in there.
Students package and sell their harvest to local restaurants, students' families and staff, and any extra produce goes to retirement homes and food pantries. Larson says students also gain soft skills such as how to be a good employee, punctuality, engagement, responsibility, and to be the public face of the business. Because climate is controlled inside the container, food can be grown all school year long with a predictable commercial scale output. A greenery unit can support 13,000 plants at a time, producing harvests of up to 900 heads of lettuce per week. Larson says the indoor farm is also resistant to shocks, such as extreme weather patterns or drought.
The taste is incredible. When people eat our lettuces, they're like, oh, wow, I didn't know lettuce could taste like that. We have some really interesting varieties of herbs as well. We do a lot of different arugulas. So I think the freshness just really sets it apart.
The high-tech containers are the brainchild of the Massachusetts-based company Freight Farms and are well-suited for Colorado. They require a considerable amount of electricity but use nearly 99% less water than a traditional farm, running with as little as 5 gallons per day, less than the average dishwasher. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Time magazine has named the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve as one of the world's coolest places. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
The list from Time for Kids divides locations into categories including play, learn, and explore. That's the category Southern Colorado's dunes made their mark, as well as the Cliff Palace at Mesa Verde National Park in southwestern Colorado. Time for Kids says it's the magazine's first annual list. The magazine gathered recommendations from young readers and kid reporters around the world and then considered nominations based on factors including quality, originality, sustainability, and accessibility. The magazine says the Great Sand Dunes are the perfect place for sand sledding and sandboarding and mentioned its dark skies at night, saying the dunes provide, quote, a unique sense of uninhibited freedom. I'm Andrea Chalfin.
And in more from Luke Runyon, Federal officials are trying to figure out what to do about salty wastewater in western Colorado's Paradox Valley.
The Bureau of Reclamation released a document that looks at alternatives to an existing federal project called the Paradox Valley Unit. It intercepts naturally occurring briny water from emptying into the Dolores River and injects it deep underground so it doesn't end up degrading water quality throughout the Colorado River Basin. The injections have caused hundreds of earthquakes, with the biggest, a 4.5 magnitude quake, in March of this year, causing operations to shut down. Now the Bureau is looking for an alternative. They're asking for public comments on their proposals to either drill a new well, build evaporation ponds, use expensive technology to clean up the brine, or do nothing. Comments are being taken until February 4th. I'm Luke Runyon.
District 3 United States Representative Scott Tipton will have a challenger from his own party in next year's election. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Rifle resident Lauren Boebert intends to challenge Tipton in a Republican primary race next year. Boebert, who will turn 33 next month, said she plans to make an official announcement of her candidacy today. Boebert is well known in Garfield County as owner of Shooter's Grill in Rifle, a restaurant that has drawn attention because she, her waitresses, and other staff all openly carry sidearms. Boebert boosted her own profile in September when she traveled to Aurora with the purpose of dressing down former U.S. Representative Beto O'Rourke. Boebert was particularly incensed at O'Rourke's plan for a mandatory buyback of AR-15 and AK-47 semi-automatic weapons. Her comments to O'Rourke earned her immediate national attention. She was interviewed on Fox News and saw her comments reprinted in numerous other publications nationwide. Boebert said she's running for federal office primarily because she believes Tipton has been too quiet on advancing conservative ideals statewide and nationally. She also said Tipton rarely interacts with his constituents, doesn't get many things of significance passed in Congress, and holds few public events seeking voter input. Although the expansive 3rd District has more registered Republicans than Democrats, 33% to 27%, unaffiliated voters make up the vast majority with 37%. Those unaffiliated voters are now allowed to cast ballots in party primaries. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, December 9th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.